Guys, well, we're going to try something really new today. I think I'm going to give it about 30 minutes of trial and error here. And if this recording works out the way that I genuinely hope that it does, then, you know, we're going to be seeing a lot more of this, because what I wanted to do for a long time now is expand your ability to interact and engage with this podcast and with me. If you enjoy my videos, or if you know me, or, you know, for friends or family, you don't get to see me so often. I think this is a much more personal way to be able to engage, like to be entertained by this podcast. Unless you think my face is absolutely disgusting, in which case I will absolutely understand. What I want to do is have, like I've talked about for a long time, if you're a long time listener of the show, is to have a video option of this podcast that can be uploaded to YouTube. If something funny happens, if it happens, then, you know, we would have the opportunity to have relatively clear footage. This is just a more or less expensive webcam. I'm just checking. When I look here, I'm just checking out myself on the monitor here. This isn't the worst angle, but like I was saying, you know, if something funny happens, something cool happens, we will have the opportunity to clip it out and use it for content, which hopefully will drive new listeners to this show via YouTube or whatever it may be. I don't know if this is like the perfect angle, but I gotta say, I am surprisingly not as burned out or... not burned out, but I'm not really disappointed with this webcam. I don't have the money for a, like a proper brand new DSLR. I have a Canon that I've talked about a few times, but setting up this damn thing has just been such a speed bump in my progress. And this webcam or not, is pretty clear. So what I'm going to try and do is a very simple, short episode today. And hopefully, another reason also before I get through this intro, another reason why I wanted to do this is if this process works with this new program, this new software that I'm using, then we have a lot of options. One, like I've said, you have a new way to engage with this content. You can, you know, while you're cleaning the house or bathing your dog or doing yoga or something at home, you not only can just listen to the podcast if you're already doing that, but you can just throw this on your TV, on YouTube, for example, or on your phone, and you can also see me talking to you, which I think is a bit more personal, a bit more fun. I do that with a lot of podcasts that I enjoy that include video options, so I feel like if I enjoy that, there's probably people that who listen to this podcast that also would enjoy that. It's just an idea. Two, like I've said, also cutting up the content, hopefully driving new people to this podcast through mediums like TikTok or Instagram or whatever. And the third reason, which I swear, once I started that sentence, I had it in my mind. The third reason why I wanted to start this is also because if this program works the way that I hope that it does, it is simultaneously recording this decent video with the clean audio. So if this works, this could potentially mean no more of me sitting alone taking the footage from my TikTok lives or from, you know, from something I've shot on my iPhone and like separately mixing my separate audio file in like a program together, because that takes a lot of time and it's exhausting. And yeah, basically if this works, then that's just two jobs, bink, in one video, and it could sound really cool, could sound good, could be nice. So I thought I would do a very simple thing today to get us started. Now I'm trying to decide if I should do, I have a list here. By the time that this comes out, let me see what day it is today. Right. So by the time that this comes out, if you are someone who tends to listen to this on the days that it comes out, or a few days after, you will have seen a video on my channel that I will have already have done, which covers this topic more or less. That's why I'm thinking maybe I do the latter half. I have a list of German cliches, and I had a video that came out this week about where I covered the first five of this list, and I did it in character as my German guy, Johannes, which I thought was pretty funny. I, you know, as of this recording, I don't know how poorly or well it has done, but I think if I'm going to do a little test recording for you guys, it might make more sense, because if you've come to the recording from the videos, that you might want to see something fresh, something you haven't seen. So I might, in the video that I did the first five, so I might, for this recording, start at number six. I think that makes more sense. 6 through 10. Also, just before I jump right in, something I wanted to talk about, which I haven't discussed publicly yet, and maybe this is something that every content creator, influencer type person goes through, and this is not this thing I'm about to talk about is in no way reflecting in my ticket sales. It's not reflective in my, like, it's not indicative of any of my personal sort of what do you call it? Like, I'm not feeling what I'm about to tell you in real life. Like, I'm still getting very kind people who come to me, saying very kind things, complimenting the videos. I'm still, you know, getting, you know, jobs with brands. I'm still, you know, chugging along doing what I do. But recently I've felt, at least, maybe I'm being too paranoid, but like a pretty significant dip in the general engagement with my content. I can only really speak like specifically for Instagram. It could be that I need to readjust some things analytically. Sometimes that happens where you've gotten into such a habit of releasing your content at a certain time of day, at a certain length, edited a certain way, hashtagged a certain way, which we know now, anyone who works in social media knows that hashtags are essentially completely useless. You know, there's maybe, you know, the chance that there were too many ads at a certain time, or just one of those natural, unfortunate dips in engagement. And the reason why it hit me so much this month compared to other months where I felt like a you know, there's been months since the success of the social media stuff kicked off where I felt like a little slog, like a little bit of like, that's kind of a slow few months. And then it always kicks off again. It's like something takes off, something does well, and then it like goes up again. But after crossing 500K, I think we got to like 515, 516, something like that on Instagram. And around that time, it was like a slow push uphill, I realized, to 518 or wherever I am now. And it was around that time, and this is recently, this is like the last month or so, where I started to sense, or like not even sense, like I can look at the numbers, you know, like to look at your statistics and your data. And something I started to say a few sentences ago was like, the reason I really noticed this is that every month for my agency, I have to send screenshots of all the analytics of all my social media platforms. It's a regular part of the process. You know, they want to fish you as a creator to brands to get these ad, you know, jobs or whatever. I still have them coming in. It's not like I've had some big drought. You know, I'm not sitting here this month thinking, oh my God, I have nothing coming in. But this is the first time in a while where I've seen such a slowdown where, it could just be, like I said, like a myriad of reasons. It could just be like the natural progress of things. Sometimes people just float in and out algorithmically. Sometimes if you're doing well, and this is true, sometimes if you're doing well, the algorithm will push new, or different or new creators to the people who would like normally see you, like, oh, if you like him, you might like this one, because they want to, keep the viewer engaged more and more with, just the app in general. It's like a very vicious business. That could also, that's very much a part of it, and that could be the main reason. It could also be that I'm overthinking it. It could also be, you know, just the natural progress of things that, you know, there's like a little slowdown and then the wave comes back and it hasn't even been that long, but maybe I'm overthinking it. But something, I don't know. It's not as if I have like bad video views. There's a couple of videos. Like I have a general understanding of the numbers I expect from certain videos. And when they don't meet those expectations, I tend to overthink it, which is the curse of a job based in like community and community enjoyment or like online entertainment, because you can't see the people. Like I said, this is not indicative of anything I'm doing live. You know, the tour sold out, and every time I do a performance, like I feel that they're enjoying it and I get told that they have enjoyed it. So it's not as if I go somewhere and do something in person and then see people leave or in any sense of that, like there's nothing like that at all. And of course I haven't, you know, put out anything where I would feel, oh, maybe, you know, maybe that pushed part of my audience away or something. Nothing like that at all. Probably this is just me overthinking, because, you know, when you get a job in a field like this, which is based entirely around people's, you know, it's based entirely 100% around people liking you, people finding what you do entertaining, whether it's, you know, music, art, comedy, film, whatever. When you get a job like that, and it's kind of spontaneous, you know, it wasn't like, that's going to be what I'm going to do when I'm old, you know, when I'm older. Like that was never, you know, it was like spontaneously obtained. And not what I had worked towards. It wasn't like I put, you know, 10 or 15 or so years into that job and then finally something happens. It was literally very much like an overnight success where, which sounds funny to say because it's not like I have 10 million followers or something. But still very much like a very sudden success. You know, it was over just a couple of months where a lot of things changed. And I think because that happened so much out of my control and so unexpectedly, there's a huge part of me that is constantly aware of the possibility that it's an illusion, if that makes sense. There's a huge part of me that regularly believes that I've, you know, it's a classic concept that a lot of creators are aware of called imposter syndrome. It's a very real thing. Imposter syndrome is not limited only to creative jobs, but, you know, the imposter syndrome, for those who don't know, is this idea that you have worked very hard. You've worked hard or you had some luck, like in my case, to get to a position that you may or may not have dreamed of or something that you really enjoy doing. And it's exactly at that moment when you should bask in its glory where you start to think, oh, man. The people who put me here really, they messed up. They don't know that I'm a fraud. They don't know that I don't belong here at all, you know? And that's so unfortunate that is like such a common occurrence, especially in creative fields. But I know that it happens in essentially every job. Someone who works very hard gets a huge promotion. And then when they're in that first, you know, conference meeting in like sales or something, and they're up there with the big dogs for the first time, they don't have the sense of, I did it, I belong here, I'm meant to be here. But more of the, oh my God, what have they done? They didn't, oh no, they have no idea that I'm such an, you know, that I'm an idiot or something. Probably I can contribute most of my fears to imposter syndrome. But imposter syndrome does tend to hit at points of success. And I think my concern is that this is the first time where I see such a like a flat line in the general engagement. Of course, the general like flat line engagement is still very good, like compared to a lot of other creators that I know, people who are like coming up in the same genre or the same style. You know, there's like this level of engagement. I hate that word, but that's kind of, I mean, that is the accurate word for it. But like, there is this level of engagement that you expect at a certain point when you start getting like certain regular numbers. It's not as if I just like daily plummet under those numbers. But what's very hard is when you get to a certain level that you have these humongous lulls before the follower numbers continue to go up. And sometimes the video views fluctuate enormously. Like I did a video maybe a week or 10 days ago or something where I knew when I did it, this is something the followers are going to like. I don't know why. It's very rare that I really feel that way. It's always kind of a gamble, but I really felt that. And that video did very, very well. You know, it was a funny idea. I think I did it well. It's one of those rare, like sort of perfect, you know, perfect luck all around. Like, oh, he did it well, and it's a funny idea, and he, you know, he knows what the audience wants kind of thing. There's definitely not every video like that. But then, you know, there'll be videos. Sometimes I'll like recycle a video from back in the day, like 1.5, 2 years ago or something, that part of me thinks, well, you know, there's a chance that people didn't see that in the last 6 months because I have a lot of new followers since then, and they probably don't go back in your you know, filmography or whatever, in your library, and go check the old stuff. So I'll recycle something people might not have seen before, and that will do like 10 times better than the new video next to it. And that makes me worry, you know, where I think, ooh, well, you know, these are just, you know, general, like general numbers. But let's say one video gets like, you know, 700,000 views. Awesome. Definitely not like an everyday thing. And then one that I, you know, try very hard on, or it's like a branded video or something, and that gets like 80,000. That's a big difference. It's a nearly 100,000 view difference, and the engagement's low and the likes are low, and you think, oh man, I really messed up. They don't want to see anything from me anymore. They don't want to see stuff like that. And then the very next day I will, you know, be traveling or be busy or something and like recycle a video from 2 years ago, and that one will get even better views than the new original one or the recycled one. This is sounding so convoluted. All I wanted to do was come on here and tell some funny stereotypes about Germans, but I think I needed to kind of voice that out loud. Like, I think I'm just overthinking it. I'm probably just overthinking all that stuff. But you know, now that I have an agency, I think that's probably what adds more of the pressure, because monthly I'm supposed to present these analytics. You know, TikTok is on a steady growth. I'm pretty happy with it. I have to say, I feel like almost every day I see like a certain amount of new followers or comments or stuff or likes on different videos. I check that every day a little bit. I feel like maybe Instagram, the issue for me right now is that maybe I'm not as engaged with things as I should be. Like, I'm on my phone enough as it is, and part of me thinks, well, I've already posted something. Do I really need to dedicate another who knows how long to going through comments, responding to people, sharing the story and tagging this and that? And maybe because I'm not doing that, the stuff is going low. Because part of me thinks, I guess my greatest fear is, are people just tired of that joke? You know? Are people tired of it? And that's, I think, a very important question to have in mind for any kind of genre-based content creator. Because at some point they will. Is it the time now? Maybe. I can't imagine people, you know, getting their tickets refunded or something. I think that's important for me that I've moved the content into a live format, that I've moved it in, that I've tried to expand the podcast where people can have like a more personal, in-depth sort of relationship to me digitally. I think it's important that I still try to share the music that I make, and I think it's important that I keep trying to expand. I can admit that I've gotten, probably lazy is just the straight up like right word. Maybe I've gotten lazy, you know, trying to, I was on like an expansion growth explosion for a few months, and that I think I had like just a straight up burnout, and probably the idea that I still have to post something 7 days a week with a podcast, doing my own footage and putting everything together every week, there's just some times where I just can't and or have no passion to do it. And then I think, well, that's why. That's why things have slowed down. Or like, that's why you've gone into a big lull where nothing's really growing or developing, you know, because you are not putting in like 190%, you know, or whatever. And then, you know, then the next day I'll meet someone on the train and they'll be so happy to meet me. And I'll think, well, I mean, I'm doing something right. I'm in this gray zone, and I'll stop with this. I'll end with this because, good Lord, it's been over 20 minutes. I'm in this gray zone where I think I could really do a lot more than I'm doing if I had a very small team of people to help me, one person, two people max, you know, someone who could, you know, help me set up like an online store, someone who could help, you know, keep me updated on like minimal bursts of information between me and the agency, someone who, you know, like not assistant, because that's ridiculous for where I am. I'm in this gray zone where with a little bit of help, I could be doing a lot more. I really think I could push myself where I am. At the same time, I can't afford that. I'm just not there enough where I could regularly pay someone to edit my content, post my content, take my messages, you know, engage with brand, like, you know, like all the little things that I'm doing, I could do it better with just even just one person's help. But I don't believe in unpaid internships. I think that's basically modern slavery. I really don't think that's okay. Everyone should get paid for the work that they do. But I can't afford someone to help me with that. So I'm kind of in this weird gray zone where like I'm kind of floating up sometimes and then floating down and floating up and floating down. And I think what's happened is that right now I have floated down and I'm just not sure. All the paranoia kicks in. Like, is this it? Is it over? Am I done? You know, are people not interested anymore? Am I doing the wrong kind of content? Sure, I see, you know, a handful of the same people that have followed me for a while liking every video and stuff, or, you know, commenting something. But, you know, there's waves where I'll post something and it gets like millions of views. I'll see people sharing my video in their Instagram stories and tagging me, blowing up my, you know, messages and stuff. And that's so rewarding because it really shows you, even if I don't respond to any of it, it really shows me like, well, people are, they believe in this. They like this, you know, it means something to them. And right now that sort of feeling is very, very much limited to when I see them in person. And as special and as wonderful and as grateful as I am for those moments, boy, oh boy, I'll tell you, it is just a tough wave. So, oh, look, I have to put my thumbs up in the screen. Is it going to do it again? Does that do that automatically? No. Does it do it automatically? Anyway, I'm getting distracted. That's a good sign that I should stop. Big news, guys. Big news coming in. Big news, and then we're going to go through some stereotypes. Our good friend and passionate, regular follower, friend, and family member of this podcast, Moritz Binder, whom I've talked about many, many times on this program, has written a feature film that, I had the enormous pleasure last February 2023, had the great pleasure of working on with one of my all-time favorite actors, Peter Sarsgaard. One of the most amazing rising Hollywood stars, getting a big break on Orange is the New Black. And of course, last year's Oscar indie darling, Past Lives, the incredible John McGarrow. An 80s like breakout, wonderful star who just is the chattiest, sweetest, the crispiest, man, the voice on this guy, Ben Chaplin. I get the thin red line and the thin blue line mixed up. One of them is the Errol Morris documentary, and the other one is the other war movie. Forgive me, Moritz. Ben Chaplin and one of Germany's biggest rising female actresses, actors, Leonie Benesch. This film, September 5, about the groundbreaking, world-changing terrorist attack back in Munich at the Olympics in 72, September 5th, 72. Crazy to think that Israeli-Palestine conflicts have been so world-shaking. That doesn't even seem that long ago now. You think about how long ago that conflict goes. But, since 72, and the film is a wonderful thriller, a political, passionate, emotional thriller. Is that the right term? I mean, it's very exciting. You're very engrossed and gripped by the story. I guess thriller means a bit more like, I don't know. I think thriller might be the right word, but it's probably like a political drama. Probably political drama is like the most accurate way you could call it, but it feels, some parts of it are incredibly like heart pounding. And it covers, the American sports journalist team from ABC who flew to Germany to cover the Olympics and ended up changing media and television news history forever. Nearly, man, it's unbelievable. Like, nearly a billion people watched that program of that hostage situation and so on and so forth. Google it yourself for the pure, nitty gritty facts. But this movie is incredible, and I can finally talk about it. It's called September 5. It's produced by Sean Penn. Has all those amazing actors I listed. Directed by Tim Felbaum. Incredible German director. Written by our good friend Moritz. And I had the pleasure of being on set. Got to do some incredible off-screen acting directly with Peter Sarsgaard, which I will just cherish and drink in my dreams until the day that I turn to ashes. I talked recently about falling back in love with Garden State. Peter Sarsgaard's incredible in that. And he's on a brand new Apple TV Plus drama called Presumed Innocent, which, when we were on set together, he gave me all the juicy goss about, which I didn't expect, which I won't say here because I think you should watch it for yourself. But incredible opportunity for him to work alongside his brother-in-law, one of my all-time favorite actors, Jake Gyllenhaal. That's right. They are brothers-in-law for many, many years now. Peter is married to Maggie Gyllenhaal, Jake's sister. But what this does mean is that very soon... Oh, yeah, sorry. I wanted to mention this film has been officially announced to premiere at one of the most prestigious European film festivals. And also, just to be like completely blunt, one of the most prestigious film festivals in the world. At least what I'm aware of in the Western world, like an incredible, incredible, incredible opportunity here. Amazing movie. It's one of just two of like the big debut premieres of Venice Film Festival. And I think this means a lot of big changes for Moritz, a lot of big Hollywood red carpets. And I'm very, very proud of him. And I'm lucky to have experienced that world firsthand. And what this means is that I can finally, when it's the right time, when the film has... Because this is what I'm allowed to say. Now this is like public knowledge. The film exists. These are the actors. That's the producer. That's the director. That's the writer. It's going to be at Venice. These are all public things, which I'm allowed to say. When the film premieres, so when the film in a few months is finally out, this means now I can finally have Moritz here on the podcast, and hopefully if this works, officially on video, and I can... give him his big, juicy, sweet surprise, which I am so proud of myself for not having slipped it or cracked it or leaked it to a single soul. And it's genuinely going to blow him away. So I'm very happy for that, and I'm very excited to do that, and it means that finally that's going to happen sooner than later now. It was genuinely like seeming impossible to me for the longest time, and now it's possible. So with all of that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about five more. Let's talk about five German cliches. There are, on this list, there are 25. Bing! There are 25. But I'm going to do 6 through 10 because the video that I made was 1 through 5. Now we're going to do 6 through 10, and we can save the rest for a rainy day. Okay? So I'm almost spoiling these here, but let's get right into the top here. Germans are punctual. The clock dictates the rhythm of life in Germany to the minute. Buses leave at 2:13 p.m. or 5:18 p.m., for example. If it becomes 2:15 or 5:20 p.m. or even a few minutes later, the first people waiting at the bus stop get nervous. That's true. I've seen that before. If the bus is late, this can be a problem for many Germans. They might be late for an appointment. This is considered very rude. Germans also like to complain about the punctuality of trains. In their statistics, trains that arrive up to 5 minutes and 59 seconds later than the timetable says they are also considered punctual. That's very interesting to me. Let me move this little camera guy over here. For me, that's super interesting because it's extremely true. I mean, of course, you know, I think it's a generational thing. It also depends on generations because there's always going to be people who just don't care. Like the more people that you just have sitting around with like a phone or a book or they're on a call, you know, I think some people also like running up to the bus stop are pretty happy if it's a couple of minutes late. But as someone who for my first cafe job for Malefits, that was 1 year, just shy of 1 year. And for my job at the middle school here in Munich, which was 2 full years. So like, you know, about 3 years total of like really, you know, depending on public transportation to get to my job before I was able to drive here. This really is like, it's so punctual. I think I had a bus that left from my old apartment, which took me directly to my school job, which was pretty lucky. But it left at like, I think it was... I'm wrong. I took a bus right by my house to my gym because I was a healthy boy back in the day. I took a bus to my gym, and then after I did the gym, I took the underground station. I took the U-Bahn to the school. Something like that. I think I took a train and then another bus, whatever. Anyway, the point was I had it planned out every single day exactly the same. If I got up at like 5:30 on the dot and I didn't like slug around, you know, if I got up with the alarm, which I usually did because I didn't want to wake anybody else up, and if I got up and then I would usually like every night before bed, this is how German I actually think I was for a little while there, but like I would put my fresh clothes on a chair in the kitchen, like slumped over a chair, put my clean clothes with my gym bag on the kitchen counter, zipped up, ready to go with my water bottle and my running shoes and my shorts and my little locket for the, you know, for the locker. I'd put all that in front, you know, sometimes maybe like a phone charger, like whatever I knew I might need for the next day. I'd plump all that like right there on the table, go to bed, 5:30, bing, wake up, go straight to the bathroom, brush my teeth like this. Ugh. Finally, you know, that would wake me up enough where I could like go to the kitchen and I wouldn't have coffee yet. This was a big thing. This was a big thing for me because I like treated myself after the gym. I wouldn't have coffee right at the apartment first thing in the morning. Granted, I think I was still in my 20s, so it makes a big difference. I went to the kitchen, got dressed in the fresh clothes there, like standing like this in the counter in my underwear, put on the clothes, put the bag over, had my other bag with my stuff in it, my computer, whatever I needed, books, and then took this exact bus that left, I guess, at like 6:24. I remember it wasn't on like a 0 or a 5. It was like 6:24 or whatever. Or even earlier, like 6:12 or whatever. And then I would like run out, grab that bus, and that bus would take me to my gym, which was like Center City. Get off there, go in the gym, and I knew exactly when that bus would normally get there, which only, you know, like, you know, it was only varying off that, like by 1 or 2 minutes in case like something unexpected happened with traffic. Get off that bus, go to the gym, and I knew I had like 55 minutes, like to an hour, to like do what I needed to do. Go in, do my cardio, do whatever lifting I wanted to do, shower at the gym, which also, I guess I just had to get used to that. Like, there's so many guys at these German gyms who, like, you know, their locker is like 10 rows back, like an aisle of locker rooms, you know, like in a high school movie from the 90s. And they would get naked there and walk naked all the way to the shower. And then, like, not like towel over the shoulder, mind you, like as if it's, you know, like a John Hughes movie or something, like just walking, just barefoot, you know, who cares if I get athlete's foot? Who cares if someone had like hand, foot, mouth, or like some blisters or like some open pimple juice? Like, I'm just doing barefoot in an open locker where people enter this room in their street shoes. Not the shower part, the main hallway where anybody can be. I've been caught naked by the female janitors because they also clean the gym at all times of the day and they're just always there. And if you're naked, then you're naked. And I remember like getting over that fear, walking in the shower, getting naked, showering with complete strangers, one time having an enormously athletic looking, beautiful black man come to me and tell me, guys, I must say, oh man, I am so, okay. I've been trying to do this right. It is not going right. It's the first time, it's a first come, first serve, sort of first waste of time sort of thing. I wasted too much time in the first section of properly working equipment to focus on BS paranoia insecurities. I should have used that time properly to tell these funny stories. Anyway, going to the gym, people be naked. And I remember standing there in my little shower cubby, no dividers, blankly pressing a button as a beautiful man walks up, just like centaur, you know, horse and all. He's like, hey, man, that one doesn't work. That one's broken. And I was like, okay, thank you. Please place all anacondas and hogs on the far side of the fence, you know? And I'm there like, this one, you know. Anyway, and then, you know, leaving the, getting out of the gym, everything was timed, getting out, going back to the street, and then I would get my coffee, and then I would get my coffee, and then I would get my coffee. And usually with a pretzel, so everything just balanced out and stayed even. And then I would get on my bus and put in the old headphones and listen to old episodes of Radiolab before the host got canceled for improper behavior in the workplace. And then I would go to my school job and I would be there perfectly on time. So if we're just playing the game of, is this an accurate cliche? This is rocking the screen, isn't it? Sorry. If this is the game of accurate cliche or not for Germans, well, by golly, in my experience, it sure as hell is. Okay, then let's go back to, let's see, does this work? How to do? Center on... No. Okay. So we can zoom out a little bit here. Okay. Here we go. All right. A little something. Something a little more our speed here. See if I can zoom it out. Come on now, you dirty dog. Come on now, you dirty dog. Come on now. Well, come on now, you dirty dog. Come on now. Come on. There we go. Okay. I probably could have done that on this screen anyway. Bear with me, people. Bear with me. Let's go to this guy, and we can do this. Okay. Here we go. So, I have tabs. Okay. Germans wear traditional clothing. Dirndl and Lederhosen are really popular among some people in Germany. They wear them on traditional dates, in the Trachtenverein, and sometimes on festivals. A Dirndl at a wedding in Bavaria or at a folk festival is normal. True. At most restaurants in Bavaria, you'll see someone wearing that. But a look around German pedestrian zones shows what most Germans wear everyday life. Jeans and a shirt, just like everywhere else. Totally true. Not even like a big opinion on this, not even a big story here, but if you are someone coming into the realm of Germany for the very, 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 very first time, and you think that everyone at all times is dressed like that, this is a good point to remind yourself that you're wrong. Sounds like Obama. There's a good time to remind yourself that you're wrong. Yeah, everyone kind of looks like this guy right here. And but if you go to, you know, first off, that's only happening in Bavaria, and you'll see it at, you know, special occasions. People born and raised here, that's their special thing. You know, it's just their thing. You know, like someone might, what's a good equivalent? I'm thinking of like Southern people who wear like camouflage tuxedos or something, but that's not considered the norm. And a lot of Southern people would be like, Jesus, man, spring for a normal suit. It's like, it's the kind of traditional clothing that you're wearing, right? So most beer gardens, traditional Bavarian restaurants, businesses of operation which celebrate the culture will usually require people to wear the clothing as a uniform. And yes, people who are connected to and who are, how would you say it? People who are like connected to and, you know, or are, you know, in some way, passionate about, their culture will wear these traditional things to weddings or christenings, birth, you know, important birthdays, people's 50th, 60th birthdays, things like that. So yes, happens, but not, extremely, not common basically anywhere, except for Bavaria and only in special occasions. Usually Germans let their hair grow under their arms. Bleh. Not true. Some people do, 'cause it's like the trend of the time. Let me get this fixed up here. Some people do, but not because they're in Germany. Some people do, but not because they're in Germany. It's the same reason why some people do when they live in literally anywhere else in the Western world or anywhere else. I don't know. They do it anywhere. Hardly any, I covered it up here. I was going to do the next one. In this song, blah, 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 Luftballons, armpit hair is no longer true, da, da, da. 71% of women shave their armpits compared to 43% of men. I don't know exactly when this article came out. I should have probably taken a little gander at that. I think it's a little older. See if it says at the bottom somewhere. Does it say? No. Well, if it does, I can't find it, and I don't want to waste the time. I've wasted enough time, but no. Except for when it's just like a type of person, just like it's like a stereotypical, like, oh, I'm a vegan, keto, yoga, holistic, you know, it's just like, sometimes it's just your thing. Some people just don't like to, but they still smell nice. It's not like, it doesn't like necessarily, it's not the same as the stereotypes you might have believed Europeans to be, you know, as late as, you know, as recent as like 10 years ago. It's just not true. Germans wear socks and sandals. One! 100% true. Hardly any clothing combination is considered as German as socks and sandals. The Germans themselves know this. They themselves always cite socks and sandals as an example of when it comes to bad taste in Germany. On the street in the summer, you really see people wearing the combination. And in a survey, 10% said it's okay to wear it like that on vacation. 10% of very cool people. For a few years now, a special version of the shoes from Germany has been popular in other countries as well. Fashion fans in Milan and Copenhagen love the wide Birkenstock sandals from Neustadt in Rhineland-Palatinate, but they don't wear socks with them. I beg to differ. Okay? We have one more, right? 6 through 10. Yeah. That happens a lot. I see it all the time. I've been guilty of doing it myself. I should do this better. I've been guilty of doing it myself. Germans love their cars. Depends. Every second German has his or her own car. It feels that way now. There's a ton of cars on the streets, despite how much public transportation they have. The German's favorite child. As a saying, most get really emotional when it comes to an engine and four tires. I feel like this is written for a different generation. Like, I like driving my car, but I'm American. I know people that drive their car because they have kids or because they needed one for one reason or another, but the auto industry is the largest. You know, it is the largest industry in Germany. You got the BMWs, you got the Mercedes, you got the Volkswagen, you know, and more. Big industry here. So I get that people love it. But I mean, this feels like anybody, right? Like, Germany loves their car. Hey, Queen wrote a song, I love my car, you know? Go talk to literally any American guy from the 1970s. Look at a movie like Dazed and Confused. You're not going to find a guy who doesn't love their car. And in cities, fewer and fewer people have their own car. 18% of people have a pet name for their car. I had pet names for cars, but I'm American. Anyway, it's a practical everyday object. Yes. I mean, it depends how much money you have. It depends where you're living. If you live in like villages or small towns, the same as anywhere else, you're going to need a car to get around, right? Not going to be a bus from every small town, every small little crooked nanny to get around everywhere you need to go. You're going to have to get around, like, you know, you can take a car to a major station, but maybe it's like, you know, 30, 40 minutes away by the interstate. Depends where you live. Major cities, most people that I know might have one car, but a lot of them don't, because you can just take a train. And that's why it's so convenient. Guys, I am going to wrap it up here. I really hope this worked out. The audio might be weird. The video might be weird. But this is just a little test episode. So I hope you had fun. Again, as usual, if you had any fun or you liked it at all, please make sure to... wherever you found this, if it's YouTube or on streaming anywhere, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, make sure to follow, give a like, share it, you know the whole deal, but it really helps out a lot. Thank you guys. I love you so much, and bye. Look out, baby. The Saints are coming through. And it's all over now. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.